on the pastime of Lord Nrisimha, but I was not able to go into great detail. So today, I would like to begin by speaking on Prahlad's prayers to Lord Nrisimha, so that you won't need Bhagavad Gita. This is going to be a special class on the prayers by Prahlad. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So after, here's the picture, right over here. Lord Nrisimhadev, to protect his devotee Prahlad, killed Hiranyakashipu, the boy's father, keeping in check, keeping all the benedictions that Lord Brahma had bestowed upon Hiranyakashipu. Without breaking any of the benedictions, Lord Nrisimha was able to kill Hiranyakashipu. After the demon was killed, his army, his soldiers, they also tried to attack Lord Nrisimha, but simply with his nails, Lord Nrisimha was able to defeat the entire demoniac army of Hiranyakashipu. But after killing, the Lord was still angry. He was sitting on the throne. He was still roaring. Lord Brahma and all the demigods, Lord Shiva, Indra, all the demigods in the universe, even saintly persons, they also tried to appease the Lord with prayers, but they could not. Lord Brahma requested his wife, Lakshmi, you try to pacify your husband. Lakshmi said, ha ha, I have never seen him like this. She was hesitant to come forward. Finally, Lord Brahma pushed Prahlad. Prahlad, as you see in the picture, approached Lord Nrisimha with a garland. And then Prahlad did full obeisances to Lord Nrisimha. And when Lord Nrisimha saw Prahlad, Lord Nrisimha stopped roaring. Tavakara Kamala, he put his lotus hand on Prahlad's head. And immediately Prahlad was filled. He's a 5-year-old boy. But he was filled with spiritual knowledge, Brahma Gyan. And then offered 43 very highly philosophical prayers to Lord Nrisimha. So I'm still in this mentality after doing 3 days last week on Lord Nrisimha. I can't leave because I very much appreciate the mood and the mentality and sentiments of Prahlad Maharaj. We won't cover all the prayers. We'll see what happens. So I beg you to please try to hear with rapt attention for the next hour. The key to success is to hear with rapt attention. Try not let your mind wander. Look at Prabhupada. Look at Lord Nrisimha. Stay focused. I will try my best to guide you and make this prayers of Prahlad appreciable. If you're ready to proceed, I ask you to raise your hands and repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, that means demons, to offer suitable prayers in order to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even up to now, all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified." So here the first lesson, humility. As Lord Chaitanya instructs us, constantly wear around your neck this prayer, the one I recite every time before I speak. Trinadapi sunichena tarar iva sehishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should always keep oneself meek and humble, feeling oneself lower than the blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to give all respects to others. Therefore, allow me to worship Krishna in your heart. Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu vyayevacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Let's go to prayer number 2 of Prahlad. One may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, I cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. So in this second prayer, the lessons to be learned, that the Lord is never impressed with any of our material so-called qualifications. As we learn in Bhagavad Gita at least 3 times, in chapter 8, at the end of chapter 11, and towards the end of chapter 18, it is confirmed by Krishna himself. You want to know him, you want to see him, you want to join him, only one thing: bhakti. As Prahlad says here, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. That is bhakti, devotional service. You're doing the first of the 9 items right now. You're hearing about God. That's the first item of devotional service. The other point, Gajendra. Gajendra's story is narrated in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Gajendra was a king who, due to some misunderstanding, offense, he was cursed to become an elephant. While an elephant, one day, he was attacked by a crocodile. Since the elephant was in the water, which is not his natural habitat, Gajendra was losing the battle. The battle was going on for quite some time. And the crocodile, being an animal of the water, was gaining strength, sensory power, mental agility. So in the fight, which lasted many, 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 many years, Gajendra was getting weak, the crocodile getting stronger. In the midst of the fight, Gajendra, by the grace of God, remembered a prayer that he had learned in his previous life. And with his trunk, he offered a lotus flower and prayed to God to save him. The Lord came, killed the crocodile, and Gajendra was delivered, freed from the curse by the mercy of the Lord. As Prahlad says here, the Lord was satisfied with him. So that should be our objective of life, how to satisfy the Lord. If you are really serious about that, then every day, those of you who come to the temple during Mangala Arati, every day you sing one prayer. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada, yasya prasadan nagati katopi. How do I know that I am satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I have no way of knowing. But this prayer states, if you satisfy the spiritual master, automatically Krishna is pleased. Therefore, my only business should be, how do I please my spiritual master? Me personally, I asked Srila Prabhupada in March of 1975 in Atlanta, Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And Prabhupada replied, when you love Krishna. Therefore, the order of my spiritual master, I must learn how to love Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prayer number 3. If a Brahmana has all 12 of the Brahminical qualifications, as they are stated in the book known as Sanat Sujata, but this Brahmana is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, such a Brahman is certainly lower than a devotee who comes from a dog-eater family, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahmana, because the devotee can purify his or her whole family, whereas the so-called Brahmana in a position of false prestige, cannot even purify himself. So this continues with the previous point. The Lord is not satisfied with your material situation. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna points out whether you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or a Sudra, you can all achieve perfection. How? By worship of the Supreme Lord. You execute your duties either as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, but just to execute your duties is insufficient. You must worship the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains it like this. Sang Siddhir Hari Toshanam. Your perfection as a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra is dependent upon your ability to satisfy God. So, it doesn't matter whether you are materially low or materially high. The equalizer is bhakti. That is the equalizer. And the Lord is not concerned with your material situation. He is only concerned with your love and devotion. Prayer number 5. Prahlad says, therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may, without a doubt, offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he or she offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. The point here is that the 9 processes of devotional service, Navalakshanam, hearing is the first. And Lord Chaitanya stresses, hearing and chanting are the fundamental foundation of bhakti, specifically in this age of Kali. So therefore, simply by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, you can achieve complete self-realization. Simply by this process of hearing and chanting. Therefore, the other shloka I always chant before every class, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. So Lord Chaitanya instructs, simply engage in hearing and chanting. Or, when Lord Chaitanya is explaining his Shikshastakam prayers, when one engages in hearing and chanting the holy name of Krishna, all kinds of devotional service is awakened. So if the question you have, how can I improve my spiritual life? The answer is, increase your hearing and chanting. Increase the duration of your hearing and chanting. Increase your quality of hearing and chanting. I always like to point out, psychologists, psychiatrists, when a family is having difficulties, the psychiatrist will say, you should spend quality time with your wife or children. Quality time. I say, yes, you should spend quality time with Krishna. Quality time japa. Quality time, studying. Quality and quantity. Now let's go to text number 6. O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your lordship who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. My Lord, your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. So in this verse, again, Prahlad is keeping himself meek and humble, even though he was the only one who could pacify the Lord. Still, he doesn't get puffed up. He still gives all credit to Lord Brahma and all the sages and demigods, even though he was the one who finally got the Lord to stop roaring. But he keeps himself meek and humble. Then he points out two aspects of God. That when God comes, he comes out of his own sweet will. Nobody can force God to come. He is completely, absolutely independent. Therefore, it is said, the Lord's appearance is causeless. There is no cause. He comes simply because he wants to. And then Prahlad reminds us why the Lord comes. Same thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, I come to annihilate the demons, to give protection to the devotees, and to establish real religion. So the Lord comes, many things are achieved. He came, in this instance, because Hiranyakashipu was challenging his son, Prahlad, you are mentioning this God. Where is this God that you talk about? And Prahlad said, my Lord, God is everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu laughed at his 5-year-old boy and said, Prahlad, you are childish, over-talkative. Prahlad, if your God is everywhere, is he in this pillar here in the palace? And Prahlad said, of course. And the Lord, in order to substantiate Prahlad's statement to his father, appeared from the pillar because Hiranyakashipu drew his sword and said, Prahlad, if your God is in this pillar, I will kill him. And then you will accept me as supreme. But when Hiranyakashipu took his fist with sword in hand and struck the pillar, a tremendous roar that no one had ever heard before, and out came this form of Lord Narsingha. Therefore, for the demon, the form of Narsingha Dev is very fearful. But for Prahlad, it is very blissful. Let's go to verse number 7. My Lord Narsingha, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake. All the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. So, when Hiranyakashipu did his austerities, very severe austerities, and when Lord Brahma came to benedict him, Brahma said, nobody will ever be able to imitate the severity of your austerities. Impossible. You have done such severe penances. And Hiranyakashipu, when he got all the benedictions from Brahma, Hiranyakashipu became the supreme ruler of the whole universe. But what did he do with his position? He simply terrorized. Hiranyakashipu is the founder acharya of the terrorist movement. He tortured the devotees, the Brahmins. He disrupted the entire system of universal management and religiosity. And everything was centered around him. He made himself the supreme central figure of the whole universe. The demigods, saintly persons, devotees were feeling so much harassment and suffered under this rule of Hiranyakashipu. When they went to Lord Vishnu for relief, Lord Vishnu told them that the day will come, Hiranyakashipu will commit his final offense. He will torture his own son, who is a great devotee. Then his rule will come to an end. So up until the time Lord Nrisimha appeared, the pious, good people of the universe were all feeling tremendous harassment. So now that he is dead, now everyone is happy and back to normal consciousness. And Prahlad is saying, now they will remember your auspicious incarnation. And yes, to be free from fear. It is the habit of devotees, whenever they feel any kind of fear, immediately they take shelter of Lord Nrisimha, because he protects the devotees. So, again, whenever you are in danger, then immediately remember Lord Nrisimhadev. The prayers that we sing. The first time Prabhupada became very seriously ill, the devotees wrote to Prabhupada, what can we do for your recovery? Prabhupada said, you can pray to Lord Nrisimha. You can pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, please allow our spiritual master to continue his devotional service. Like that. So, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev. At the end, well, at Arti, we will once again. So hopefully now you have a better insight of one reason why we sing these prayers every day. They are prayers of protection. to drive away any fear. And Prahlad will talk now about fear. Yes, Prabhu? I do not know. That's above my pay grade. All right, let's continue now. Prayer number 8. My Lord, you are never conquered by anyone. Therefore, one of Krishna's names, Ajita. Everyone say, Ajita. Come on. I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth or tongue, or your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, because when he killed Hiranyakashipu, he took out his intestines, and Lord Nisringadev put those intestines around him like a garland. The picture here is exactly according to description. Or your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places. Or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. Prahlad was not afraid of the Lord. His purity, his devotion, his love makes him fearless. Even though the Lord is exhibiting, well, was exhibiting this angry form, because Prahlad is pure, innocent, he is fearless. Number 9. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, you are kind to the fallen souls. But I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities. And therefore, I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditioned life? So this prayer now is very, very instructive for all of us. Very instructive. So the Lord is insurmountable, unconquerable. But, as Prahlad points out, he's kind to the fallen souls. Why is the Lord kind to the fallen souls? Because we learn from Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, all the fallen souls are his children. You, all of us, we're God's fallen children. We're nobody else's children. We're God's children. Just like a parent, the child may have done so many things, but the love the parent has for the child never is broken. That's the nature of having a child. Anybody here have a child? Am I right in what I say? So the Lord is naturally concerned for his children. Now the next thing Prahlad says is very significant. I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities. Here Prahlad is teaching us two things. Number one, karma. He's not blaming anyone else for his lot in life. He blames himself. The materialistic tendency is to blame others for my lot in life. Victim. Everybody thinks I'm a victim. No. Prahlad says, I am a victim of my own device. So therefore, it matters the decisions and choices I make. Because I am the architect of my own future. So this is very good. Prahlad is taking complete responsibility. Why was I born in a family of demons? It's my own fault. Not God's fault. No. Similar thing is expressed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13. Depending on how you associate with the modes of nature, you get a particular result. To make it even more practical, if you keep yourself immunized, if you are very hygienic, you don't contact the infectious disease. But if you don't take the vaccination, if you don't live hygienic, you will get the disease. The doctor does that. He's treating so many patients with infectious diseases, but he keeps himself clean. Therefore, he doesn't get sick. So, we become infected by the modes of nature that we choose. Therefore, your fate is in your own hands. I have to always choose at least the mode of goodness. Indifferent to the mode of passion and spit on the mode of ignorance. Completely reject ignorance and foster the mode of goodness. Then I'll be happy. Next part of the prayer. When will that moment come? The same as the song in Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When, oh when, will that day be mine? When I am completely Krishna conscious. When you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet. He's not demanding. He's praying, my Lord, when will that day come? He knows that the lotus feet of the Lord is the ultimate goal of liberation. He doesn't want impersonal liberation. He doesn't want to become one with the Lord. He doesn't want to merge. He wants shelter at the lotus feet of God. Let's go now to verse number 10. The previous verse and this verse, for me, are more significant. So this one, number 10, very nice. O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. Prahlad here is pointing out that there are two ways to solve your problems. You can sometimes temporarily solve your problems materially. Temporarily. Because you have not solved the root. What is the root of all problems? It is forgetfulness of Krishna. That is the real problem. Why is there so much strife, war? It is because people have forgotten that they are the eternal servants of God. The other way to solve your problems is called spiritual. The ultimate bailout program is to surrender to Krishna. All other attempts to solve the miseries of life will be limited and temporary, and you'll have to deal with it again. But if you surrender to Krishna, all your problems are solved. Prabhupada gives a nice example. The goldsmith has a small hammer, and in dealing with gold, he's like this. Tap, 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 tap. Little taps. So, that's material solution. Stopgap. Temporary. Little attempts. The blacksmith has a big hammer. And when he's dealing with iron, he uses that big hammer. Boom! That's surrender to Krishna. With one stroke, you solve all your problems. So when you surrender to Krishna, you are solving your problems forever. Therefore, we chant the Maha Mantra in order to solve all problems. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Number 11. O my Lord Nisringa, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are all liberated souls, hansas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and able to chant the glories of your Lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross over the ocean of nescience. So, first point here. Prahlad wants to engage in devotional service in the association of devotees, not alone. He wants to stay in the association of devotees. And what kind of devotees? Those who are swan-like, liberated. He says, by associating with swan-like devotees, he will become free from the modes of nature, meaning he'll become purified. And when you're purified, now you're able to really chant the names of God. That's why we are instructed, alongside the chanting, there must be strict following of the four regulative principles. Otherwise, the chanting will be very difficult and it won't be blissful. So you strictly follow the four principles, side by side, nicely chant the Maha Mantra. You are in a liberated condition. He says, the Lord is very dear to him. Yes. God is a person. And he's in your heart. The Lord is the closest thing to you. Therefore, the Lord should be your mean, lovable object. Then he says, as far as chanting, he wants to follow the parampara, the disciplic succession. Prabhupada also taught that principle. Everything we do is according to what has been given to us by the previous saintly acharyas, teachers. And he says, undoubtedly, if he does all this, undoubtedly, he'll cross over the ocean of nescience. The ocean of nescience is material existence. There is a song, Taraha e Bhava Sindure. Material existence is like an ocean. Can any of us go to Venice Beach, start swimming, and wind up in Hawaii? Anybody think they can do that? My grandson, he does ocean swimming, but he's not going to make it to Hawaii. He can go for a little bit. Material existence is just like an insurmountable ocean. The only way to cross over that, Prahlad has just pointed out, in the association of devotees, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prayer number 12. My Lord Nisringa, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls, neglected and not cared for by you, cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. So before I go to part two, let's just go there. The bodily conception of life. That's the first thing Krishna attacks in Bhagavad Gita. The bodily conception. That's the beginning of spiritual life. We must become free from bodily conception. I'm a man. I'm a woman. Black, white, young, old, American, Indian, Russian. This is all bodily conception. We're not these. Now he says, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you. That sounds like Prahlad is saying that the Lord plays favorites. No. What he means here is not that the Lord discriminates. The Lord does not say, oh, I don't like the Japanese. No. The Lord loves everybody. But we say to God, no, I don't want you. Then the Lord says, oh, you don't want me? Okay, you're on your own. I can understand this because in my own life, at the age of 19, my father said to me, if you're going to live in this house, you're going to do what I say. Otherwise, there's the door. So it's 11 o'clock at night. So I said to myself, well, I don't want to do what he says anymore. I packed my bag, went out the door. He gave me the ultimatum. He gave me the choice, stay, but obey. So, the original sin. Originally, we were with God in paradise. But, we wanted to be independent. We wanted to imitate Krishna. Krishna says, fine. Go to Los Angeles. Have your fun. So, souls neglected and not cared for by God is because they don't want to obey God. Not that the Lord is discriminating. As I mentioned, Prahlad says, there are temporary material remedies, but they're impermanent. Now Prahlad gives an example. A mother and father cannot protect their child. They can try everything, but sometimes they've done everything for the child. The child dies or runs, like in my case, I left. A physician in medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. The dying man says to the doctor, doctor, I know I have cancer, but can you give me one more week? No, doctor, you ask any doctor. Can the doctor guarantee? No doctor can guarantee anything. An operation or a medicine. He never guarantees. So, you may have the finest doctor, you may have the best medicine, but sometimes when your number is up, you die. That happens. And a boat on the water cannot protect a drowning man. The Titanic. They boasted. This is the epitome of boatsman craftsmanship engineering. And they were really proud and they decided, let's see what this boat can do. Until it hit an iceberg and the boat sank. And dozens of people died. How many? 1,500 died. Some escaped, some were saved. We'll do one more, number 13. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature. Krishna says the same thing in chapter 18. Exactly the same thing. Being influenced by goodness, passion, or ignorance. Everyone, from Lord Brahma, the greatest personality, down to the tiny ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy, because these modes are coming from Krishna. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal, all are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and the energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. In this prayer, Prahlad is giving us some insight to a very famous verse in Bhagavad Gita. The line, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. Everything is either God Himself or His energy. The state called Maya is an illusion. There can't be Maya. Because everything should remind you of Krishna, of God. but out of illusion. Or shall I say, because I don't want to see God, I'm allowed to think that there is an independent situation separate from God. But actually, there's only God and nothing else. But in illusion, I think. For instance, it's happened. As you see, I'm wearing around my neck my keys. But sometimes in illusion, I forget that the keys, and I'm looking for my keys. That's called illusion, isn't it? The keys are here, but in illusion, I think, oh, where did I leave my keys? Then my wife says, yo, they're around your neck. Oh, that's called illusion. Actually, for the pure devotee of Krishna, that's all he sees. Vasudeva sarvam iti. And when you can come to that realization that God is, like Prahlad said, Prahlad told his father, when his father said, where is your God? Prahlad rightly said, he's everywhere. But Hiranyakashipu could not see. Prahlad could see. Which reminds me, when Lord Vamanadev went to see Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj is a great descendant of Hiranyakashipu. When Vamanadev came to cheat Bali, Vamanadev went to Bali and said, oh, your great forefather Hiranyakashipu, he was so great. Lord Vishnu was afraid of him. That's how he presented it. Lord Vishnu was afraid of you. Therefore, Lord Vishnu hid from Hiranyakashipu. Lord Vishnu said, where can I go where Hiranyakashipu won't find me? Because wherever I live, this rascal is going to hunt me down. Lord Vishnu said, he'll never look for me in his own heart. Therefore, I'll enter his heart. He'll never look for me there. Hiranyakashipu breathed. Lord Vishnu, in a subtle form, entered the nostril of Hiranyakashipu and hid in his heart. And Hiranyakashipu never discovered the Lord in his heart. Prahlad, of course, knew the Lord is within and without. Vahir nisingo, hridaye nisingo. The Lord is outside, he's inside, he's everywhere. Thank you very much. I think I will continue these prayers next week. Thank you for being such a wonderful audience. And I want to thank the devotees on the internet. Hari Bol, we had up to 49. And now we will have